Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. Did you hear the minister? There's no future here for our people in America. So we have to think about making a home for ourselves. And how do we do that? What are the things that we should start doing? This is what we'll be discussing tonight. We have a special guest tonight, Brother Farouk from Freedom Village, Freedom Nation. He's our special guest, and the brother is calling from Kazakhstan, Asia. He's calling from Kazakhstan, and a lot of us maybe have never heard of Kazakhstan, but brother is going to share with us the significance of his being in Kazakhstan, and what does that mean, and what opportunities there are for black people. The brother said there's opportunities for entrepreneurs, for black entrepreneurs, of which he is one. And so the brother is going to be calling us, Allah willing. He is in Kazakhstan. I don't know how many hours difference that is. He did say he'd be able to call in, but we will keep aware and keep worried. We're watching for his call. He's not on yet. I don't see his number. Brother Farouk, if you are on from a different number, if you would press the 1 on your dial so I know to open your line. Brother Farouk, press the 1 if you're on a different number, and I will open your line. But our brother, he is one of the founders of Freedom Nation. And for those of you who missed our shows back in July, we had 2 shows interviewing Brother Farouk from Freedom Nation. And about Freedom Nation, on their website it says, the Freedom Nation is an international member-based movement made of citizens of multiple countries who are dedicated to implement peaceful solutions to eradicate poverty and allow every person to live a life uninhibited by the desires of others. We are building the real Wakanda. That's Freedom Nation. And so their website is freedomnation.me, all spelled out if you wanted to find out a little bit more about yourself. Brother Farouk, if you're on the line, go ahead and press the 1. If not, I'm going to continue to talk a little bit more about Freedom Nation. So Freedom Nation consists, according to their website, of several entities, one called Freedom Builders, another one called Freedom Farms, Freedom Credit, Freedom Labs, Freedom Institute, Freedom Makers, Freedom Connect, and Freedom Village. And we want to hear from Brother Farouk. They recently had their grand opening for Freedom Village, and it's a very impressive facility he has for guests and people to come to Freedom Nation to participate in these various fields of endeavor. And so they train, they build, and they teach. And they are striving to be truly free, truly independent in every sense of the word. So as we wait for Brother to come on the line, if anybody has any questions or anything they want to discuss, you press the 1 on your dial, and we'll get into that. But we're truly looking forward to interview. And we have our brother, Dr. Ridgely. I'm going to open Dr. Ridgely's line. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. Yes. Well, I didn't want to hold you out there swimming around with the sharks waiting on Brother Farouk. But
yes, sir.
You know, we did visit his one of his locations up near Atlanta back in the summer. Was it this summer, brother? Or was it last summer? Man, I tell you,
it was up. Yes, sir. This is past last July, last August, I believe.
Last August. That was a year ago.
Yes. Yeah, I should have made that clear. He was on the show not this past July, but 2018, and we went to go see him in 2018.
Okay. Yeah, and it was a very interesting trip. You know, we want him to come to the farm to test our clay to see if we can make bricks, because he showed a brick making machine, and he showed us how you go about determining whether your clay is good enough for brick and what you got to mix with it. So we was waiting on him to come and visit us so we can look at some of this Georgia red clay here we got down here and to see whether we can make some bricks out of it, because we got to start building for self.
That's
and,
right.
And so we wanted to see, so hopefully he will come here and do that. But it was very, very interesting, his compound there that we saw and his brick making facilities. And it was very simple. I mean, I think I could even do it, okay? Then he
yes,
also, you know, he cuts his own timber to make planks and stuff like that. So, you know, this is some of the things that Killer Mike, you know, he's talking about now, that, you know, we should be self-sufficient. We should know how to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, black people in the South in particular knew how to do everything. Because out of slavery, we did everything in slavery and came up out of slavery. We took those skills and we began to build our own Wakanda.
Right.
This ain't nothing
right.
new. We built our own. But then with the 1877 compromise and they taking the troops out of the South so that white folks could burn us and lynch us and take us out of office and shoot us, it was a war that went on against us from being free. And every time we try to stand up to do something, they come and they take it down. Now, we are building here at Muhammad Farms, and we don't worry about them coming and taking it down, because unlike the efforts in the past, This time we have a plane. Now, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he built up the nation, including the very farm that I'm working on now, the white man did not come and take it from him. The only reason we lost it is that the Muslims who followed his son decided that they did not want to be free. They decided that they wanted to integrate as Muslims within America and be accepted as Muslims in America, saluting the flag, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he sold off everything. And so for those of us who tried to say, you know, Malcolm this, Malcolm that, no, well, Malcolm's gone and Honorable Elijah Muhammad is not here. And that nation of Islam that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad built was completely destroyed by his son. And now Mr. Farrakhan, starting from scratch, from zero, by himself, and Brother Jibril, and then Brother Wahid, they began the process all over again, step by step, building up steady groups in the mosque, and later on in the economic development, where we did a, set up the three economic program and actually bought Muhammad Farms in November, October of 1994. And I was asked in January of 1995 to be the farm manager. And here I am now, 24 years later. And ain't nobody shot me. Ain't nobody hung me. Been catching hell because of a lack of support from those who should support me. But, you know, one of the greatest trials that you can put on somebody is to give them a whole lot of stuff and then threaten to take it away. So what's happened is our black people in America, we have been allowed to taste of some of the lifestyle of the rich and famous, of white folk, and just for the hope of that, we don't want to leave. So we've got ourselves tied up in debt and all type of things that we're stuck and we can't do anything for self. All we can do is go to work and be a slave. And so we here at Muhammad Farms want to show a different way. We can be self-sufficient and independent over time, but somebody got to start off, and that's what we're doing. We're just starting off. And people say, well, look, wait on the minister. You know, he ain't told us which eight states.
And
well, that's true.
Dr. Regina, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it looks like our guest is on the line.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Farouk.
Assalamu alaikum.
This is Brother Farouk?
Yes.
Ah, praise be to Allah. Wa alaikum salam.
How are you doing, brothers?
Yes, sir. Oh, praise be to Allah, brother. We will. Yes, sir. Are you in Kazakhstan?
I am in Kazakhstan, calling you from Nur Sultan, the former city known as Astana.
All right. So what you doing there, brother?
So that would be part of our extension, right? So we are in the process of extending our technology firm by building a base for African American businesses in Kazakhstan to take advantage of the projects that are being funded by China, and that is their $20 trillion One Belt One Road initiative, known as OBOR, OBOR, One Belt One Road. Or BRI, which is the Belt Road Initiative. This is the initiative that our president has been so vehement in trying to slow down and stop. But it's also the initiative that China has been marketing as what they call the outgrowth of the Badung experience. And if you're familiar with Badung, Badung was the conference that was held in 1952 down in Badung, Indonesia, where all of the colonized countries got together on their own to try to decide their own future collectively, with the intention of also reaching out to the diaspora of colonialization, which is, of course, includes us. And then make a point that we were all in this together to bounce back from white oppression in the world as a global system. And so OBAR is, and the work that China's doing is being marketed under the concept of this massive event to switch the power and basically overpower the system of colonialism that enslaved us and so much of the rest of the world. And so we are taking a part in that program by using Kazakhstan as our point of operations, and also to bring other brothers in this space to benefit and profit from it.
So what types of things will the American blacks, what type of skills should they have, what type of businesses are needed over there that we can come over there and participate?
So this is quite simple, right? You have Kazakhstan is just west of China. It shares the border with China. As a matter of fact, they have a city that straddles the border. So half the city is in Kazakhstan, half the city is in China. All the tariffs and duties that were being charged by China in the trade war right now are foregone if you bring the product in under no tariffs and duties into Kazakhstan and then ship to the United States. Kazakhstan is also on the southern border of Russia. So you have one big country that's on the southern border of Russia and the western border of China. Most of the western border of China is in Kazakhstan. And then you have to the south all of the other stands, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, so forth and so on. And then, of course, Afghanistan. And the majority of the United States efforts in Afghanistan are supplied through the Caspian Sea through Kazakhstan. So you have what we call the Switzerland of the East. And this is that place where Sun Tzu said is the place that is the connecting points between three opposing states. So it connects the United States to China, to Russia, and so it's friendly to all. And there's no other country in the world that's like this. No other country in the world is friendly to all three. And to the west, it is the only path that China can use to take product by land into Europe. So they also have very friendly relationships with Europe. As a matter of fact, Kazakhstan is the host for denuclearization in the world. Right? They host those big events, everything else. So as African-Americans, what we're doing is saying, hey, look, we haven't been paying attention. You let this white boy from Europe, this guy who did this Borat, this thing, the same idiot that did the Ali G thing, right, who does this half wigger, you know, Ali G, this making black people look bad. This fool also went online and then gave us this idea of Kazakhstan to make Kazakhstan look like they're just a bunch of black white people in the middle of nowhere to turn us off from them. But if you look past this white boy and you understand the opportunities in this space, then you understand that we have the opportunity to then lead the ability to distribute product and be a part of everything that's happening in Africa, all the impact that China's putting throughout Asia, everything else by being here in Kazakhstan. And that way, bring everything, bring your expertise, bring your knowledge. We're doing a big piece with the agricultural sector. And we're not talking about, you know, just a small farm. We're talking about 28,000 farms. You know, we're inside Kazakhstan. We're talking about heavy impact and influence where they are dying to have our knowledge. They'll be dying to have the minister's knowledge and understand, okay, what is the knowledge you have that you can bring into this system and help us out? And they've been very open and very willing to work with us. And so as a part of our plan to keep growing Freedom Village, to keep growing Freedom Nation, we've chosen to come here because we have the ability to earn capital quicker here that we can use to finance our efforts back at home. And we also have the ability to expand ourselves into friendly nations where we can then negotiate our own futures. And I'm going to add just a little bit to that, too. I know I'm talking a little bit, but to understand this country and understand what's going on, this country 29 years ago was under the rule of Russia. Just like black people, they went through hell. They lost half their population in 10 years, 14 million people in 10 years. Because of oppression by colonialists from Russia. They had every imam, every sheikh, every scholar, 10,000 of them, taken out in the street and shot in the back of the head. They burned every Quran. They burned down every mosque. The police harassed the children and the women, raped them, starved them, just like they did us. So these people share our struggle one for one. And now they open up this space because they're growing and they're giving us access to things that otherwise we'd have to negotiate through white people, but now we have the ability to negotiate on our own. That's why I'm here.
Mm. Fascinating.
Okay, so when are you coming back and that we can meet? I can't fly to Kazakhstan right now. When do you do back in the country?
So amazingly so, man. I'll tell you, there's a funny thing. The flight from JFK to Kazakhstan is $385. Just FYI.
What?
So yeah, it's $385 through Aeroflot. You can get the round trip for $750. So anybody say they can't go, you can come. And you got your brother here, and I'm nestled in real good. And I take care of my brothers when they show up. Period. I'll get you your own little apartment for a week that you're here. We'll take you out to the sauna. We'll show you what's going on. We'll take you in, and we'll show you how much these people value your information, your knowledge, and then we'll plug you in into the structure and the system in our core. So that's one thing.
Now,
so it's very doable. But the second
thing is that the language
is Russian. Russian.
Okay.
You know, unfortunately, just like us English speaking folks, they end up speaking the language of their oppressors.
How do you communicate with them?
Because most people outside the United States are bilingual.
Okay. Okay.
And then also I've started to learn Paruski. So I've taken responsibility for us to meet the rest of the international community and try to be at least bi, if not trilingual.
Okay. Great.
You know, by the way, I have five of my children here. We actually had a baby here. So we got our own black Kazakh baby. And then my wife is here. My brother is here with his wife, and he's having a baby here as well. You know, and so we our children go out and they learn the language. Because these people went through hardship and hell, all their kids know how to fight. They send their kids to taekwondo and jiu-jitsu classes all the time. So all my kids are in jiu-jitsu and taekwondo classes with the Kazakh kids. You know, and they learn the local language as well as learning Chinese and Mandarin every day. But this is the main thing to emphasize is this is not a diversion, but this is part of the plan. One of the things that we wanted to achieve and that we are dead set on achieving is just like Minister Farrakhan had these beautiful relationships internationally, where he could negotiate directly with the Gaddafis of the world and negotiate with other things. We also want to make sure that our people can negotiate directly with powers in the world that are pivotal to the world's success and the world's failure, so that we don't have to work through white politicians or corrupt black politicians in order to negotiate our global position. So that's what we're doing now. And so this is part of that plan. Me, I come back and forth to the United States almost every month.
Okay.
So every month, every 2 months, I'm split between the places. I'm living in both places. And when I come back to the United States, I should be back in November, December, around that time period back in Atlanta. And I'd be more than happy for us to squat because, you know, like I said, the other thing that we're doing, just to add a little bit more, part of the international piece, during this exact same time, this summer, we built a house in a large competition that was hosted by the King of Morocco in Morocco. So we took our bricks, we took our methodologies, we took our experience, and we sent two of our brothers over there, Hassan and Muhayyadin, and they built an entire energy net zero house. So they built a house that literally powers itself 100% and uses no external electricity. And they built it with our bricks on the ground in Morocco. And we've been sharing some of those pictures on Facebook. If anybody joins us on Facebook, they can see those pictures. And as a matter of fact, I'll share those pictures with A Time to Leave so that you can push those out from A Time to Leave Facebook site too.
Okay, now what's your Facebook page?
Our Facebook is Freedom Builders. There's a page that's called Freedom Builders. Or you can go to Freedom Nation, and you'll see all of our content, stuff like that. And that also spans off to our personal Facebook pages.
Okay, so you got Freedom Nation and Freedom Builders?
Freedom Builders, yeah. So we have Freedom Nations, Freedom Builders, we have Freedom Institute, because we have the whole structure, Freedom Labs, but online,
right,
Freedom
but
Builders is where you can
Facebook,
find out about the Morocco Day.
So I'm talking about the
No,
Facebook
it's all on
page.
Facebook. We have different pages on Facebook for each one.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
I have a question, Brother Farouk. How is it that the Kazakhs came to want to build a relationship with blacks in America? Is it just with you and certain individuals, or do they have a recognition of what our potential is here in the U.S.?
I'm going to be very honest. It was because of Farouk Fanti. And I'm going to say that, and I'm not saying that with arrogance. I'm just saying that with absolution. When we sought out Kazakhstan, okay, their at the time their foreign minister, Khairat Abdurrahmanov, was their foreign minister.
Well, we lost Brother Farouk. I'm sure he'll be back on. He's calling long distance from Kazakhstan, which is very close to Russia. That's where the brother is right now. I'm sure he's about five or six hours ahead of us. And so he dropped out. And so thank Allah that he's been able to communicate with us. And he's back on. Let me bring him on. Yes, sir, Brother Farouk.
I'm calling from pretty far away. But basically,
yes,
they
sir.
Had made efforts to try to push there. The government had done a lot to try to combat the negativity that was created by that movie Borat. They did a lot to try to fight. They literally spent $15 million trying to combat the negativity that man put out there against the country.
What was the movie, brother?
If you don't know it, I don't want to promote it. It's pure ignorance and stupidity.
Yeah,
and it has no value.
Yeah, it's slapstick foolishness.
Yeah. The most thing is that Sacha Baron. Yeah, he's just
Listen very carefully. Okay, cool. You don't have to give me the name, but the reason I asked for that because I thought it was so interesting that a movie could really be a political weapon against a whole country, and that country then felt that it needed to put resources to combat a movie because we are still combating Malcolm X. The movie Malcolm X is being, they just played it on Bounce TV this past Sunday. So that's a movie that has really hurt the nation of Islam. And I just wanted that emphasized that here our country spent $15 million to combat a movie that was a negative propaganda against itself. So we in the nation of Islam should take a lesson from that. That's all I was trying to bring out. You don't have to get a movie.
It's even deeper than that. We have to realize that the engine of colonialism allowed for Europeans, you know, they did this under the terms without having mass media. So you would have a white guy that went into Kenya, white guy that goes into Rwanda, white guy that goes into South Africa, and then come back and try to educate the people in America and otherwise as to what they saw. All of us grew up when all we had was televisions and encyclopedias to read, right? And if you weren't educated, like if you weren't really educated about the plight of colonialism and everything else, the average African-American, the average black person, okay, would have to pick up what he saw. And so how long did we think, and how long do we still, some of us still think that Africa ain't that much zebras and giraffes because white folks do that. So this ain't nothing new. We have these white boys going out here, and because they have the adventurous spirit, and I'm going to call it that. I'm not going to call it just a colonialist spirit. It starts with the adventurous spirit. It ends with the colonialist and evil spirit. They choose to do evil things once they discover what they've seen. So but they start with that spirit of discovery, wanting to leave out and find new things and new ways. And because they have that and we don't, then they dictate our view of the world. Whereas every last one of us as Americans, we can knock the country as much as we like, but the truth of the matter is somehow their evil in the world has given us a beautiful opportunity to have this passport that allows us to travel freely. And like Allah made the world spacious, So we have an order as Muslims to go out and see the world, but we don't. And we and because we don't take the time, somebody say Dubai, all of us fled to Dubai. Somebody say go to Barbados, all fled to Barbados. But if you somebody say Uzbekistan, well, I ain't seen no white people go to Uzbekistan yet, so I'm not going there. I don't have no movies about it. I don't know what that is. Right? That's what it boils down to. So because
right.
we lack that adventurous spirit, and because even though in our most, like, we talk about Ghana. Well, why do we talk about Ghana? Because Nkrumah actually told one black person that he would make them that he would make them citizens.
Dual citizens.
Right? And so that single event, that single thing of one black man going over to the country and having a positive experience with his leadership has given us a love for Ghana. Even though if I ask most people about all the economics of Ghana, all of the other stats of Ghana, all the other information about Ghana, they don't have a freaking clue. They are obsessed because one black person got the invitation. So this is what we try to do with Kazakhstan. We try to say, listen, we're here. We're the first black-owned company to be registered in the autonomous business region in Kazakhstan. We're the only black-owned technology company in all of Central Asia. And we're one of the main black companies.
That's big.
They have no other black examples. And I'm here to let you know that if you show up in 5 days, I can get you a 5-year visa to be here without spending a single dime towards putting money in the bank like the other countries ask you. China won't do that for you. Hong Kong and Singapore, they give it to the British boys and the white boys because they set up that shop, right? Vietnam is not friendly to it. Laos, Cambodia, I'm giving you the whole region. Korea, Japan, but there's a place in this region that's friendly to black people. And they know about us because I came here and brought my family and showed that I'm serious about building relationships with them.
Now, let me just ask, Brother Farouk, and put it in regular folks' language. You're saying that we as black people have an opportunity to corner a relationship with the international, with the national, a nation that has opened its doors to then the benefits of its economic position next to China and other countries, and we have an opportunity to corner that. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And what I'm also saying is that this is not the only place. Part of Freedom Nation's development plan has been to develop hubs of influence for African Americans, where we have direct access to leadership in places that are essential to the global future we're going into. I'll tell you another one of those places that people aren't paying attention to is Djibouti, right? And working through Djibouti and Ethiopia. And Djibouti has become the first free trade center in Africa, the first free trade zone in Africa. It is the primary destination for all inbound shipments to the east coast of Africa from Asia. Morocco.
So that's where AFRICOM
is,
right?
That is where AFRICOM is. And then also in addition to that, we're in Morocco. Morocco has a 2030 plan made by the king to be the mouth of West Africa. They're building more ports than exist in any country in the entire country, in the entire continent. And they have a sovereign piece of Spain on the edge of Morocco that the Moroccan government gave to them so that shipments from Morocco can go on land clear into the EU. And by the time they make it to the water, they don't even go through customs. They just go straight in. So we've been offered.
Wow.
That's why we built the house in Morocco. We built that house in Morocco so that we could start that, and we have another movement that we're doing in a place called we did it in Ben-Gurion, and in a place called Asila, which is just 30 minutes south of Tangier. Tangier, you can stand on the shore of Tangier and see Europe from the shore of Tangier. So we're building houses. We got 12 brothers right now living in Asila, where we're trying to say, hey, black folks, time to set up base in Morocco. Time to set up base in Djibouti. Time to set up base in Kazakhstan. Because now with these countries and in South Africa, also we're looking to South America.
we're trying to create these hubs that we can operate out of and have global influence from these hubs by our own merit. It's really significant. And that's why I'm drawing attention to it. It's always been part of the Freedom Nation concept, is to build these freedom villages in the United States that have a specific lifestyle of independence, and then to mimic that same model in these other hubs so that we can float through the world and have our own level of influence and impact.
I have another question, but Dr. Ridge, did you want to ask something before I ask him?
No, you go ahead. Is there anybody want
okay,
to come?
Yes, sir.
Also, who's listening in who wants to ask a question? Anybody hit the one button?
Yes, so callers. Boy, I got my own question. I wouldn't even think about the other folks. Callers, press the one, and you will be put in the queue to ask Brother Farouk to take part in this fascinating report. That's what I feel like it is. So to take advantage of this, Brother Farouk, how does a black man or black woman have to be positioned in terms of skills, education level, understanding, money? How do they have to qualify to begin to take advantage of this opportunity?
Well, I'm going to take you back to the principles of freedom, because we cataloged that when we wrote the book. So you know that Freedom Nation runs off the Principles of Freedom, which is a small 90-page booklet. You have the copy of it. It's very easy to read.
Yes, sir.
And it has three principles in it. Ask of no one. Seek this independence. This independence that the minister, that Elijah Muhammad, that so many of our leaders have been telling us to reach for so long, you know. That definitely the independence that's being reached on the farms there in Georgia, you know, this independence, that is key. You've got to ask of no one. Start doing for yourself. Two, in the process of doing for yourself, you reach a level of excellence in your own personal delivery that then allows you to provide that excellence and those experiences to other people. So that is creating value for other people. That means give to everybody else. And you know that's our second principle. And our principle didn't come from Freedom Nation. Of course, it came from great leaders like Minister Farrakhan. It came from great leaders like Elijah Muhammad, who had already figured out that this was the solution for our black people, because they've seen other people in the world achieve it this way as well. So when I talk about skills, I don't want to say you should be a doctor or a lawyer, or which is so simple, you know, or you should be an entrepreneur. I don't want to go down that path. What I want to say is, you should be absolutely excellent at what you do, and then bring that skill to other people so that they see us as valuable players and valuable resources. But if you're excellent at finance, just be excellent. Don't come over here trying to peddle some little small stuff that you got over there that is not cream of the crop. No. Tell me you've got relationships with all the financiers. You understand finance. You understand money. You understand the system of money, the structure of it, everything else. If you're going to bring over here that you make toothpaste, man, you make toothpaste. But tell me you make some of the best toothpaste in the world. Get your teeth so white that it fights back all the things that are in the bad water. So when people start putting things in their water, they have hard water and stuff like that, you fight against tooth decay, which stops health problems, which then improves the health system and the overall health system population. You might only be able to sell to a couple of people, a couple thousand in the United States, but you come over here and you can get access to an entire population. And then I can help to facilitate you with that excellence to place you in places where that can have a massive impact, but only if we come with excellence. If our brothers and sisters don't have excellence, nobody wants to see you. They don't want to see you just because you're black. They care less. They got their own issues. They got their own problems, right? They ain't trying to do that. They are looking for value, not just black people. And they're willing to open up that door for black people if black people bring that value.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Dr. Ridgely, or callers, anyone have a call, a question for Brother Farouk?
Well, yeah, I'd like to make a comment. It seems that the $385, $800 round trip to that country, and considering that you're going to have somebody there who speaks English and can help, can show you the ropes. I mean, like you said, brother, I mean, if you're going to go on a vacation somewhere, why not go there? And then while you're there, find out what's going on, because you get, you know, you got the contacts, get around and know people. Find out what's going on to see if there's some place for you to fit in with what your talents are or your business is or your intentions are. And just to, you know, to do your own, like you said, be adventurous and to do your research and to find out what's the possibilities for you to fit into something that's going to be profitable for you and your family. I think that's a worthwhile business trip and vacation. Only $800, and you got somebody there who's going to help you with the other stuff in terms of where to go, a cheap place to live, right places to eat. I think that's definitely an opportunity.
And I'll add to that by mixing the 2 points. I'm sorry, brother. By mixing the 2 points, this idea of what do you bring, as well as the idea the caller just said, the brother said about going out and, you know, take advantage of this opportunity, just vacation here instead of whatever else. I'm going to say this, and I mean it sincerely. If you don't have an attitude of excellence, if you haven't somehow proven that excellence, right, and I'm taking into context and into account back tax that we pay in the United States, right? So, I mean, we have educated even the people here to say, look, you might receive the white boy, and he might be the head of Amazon, right? And you got the head of Amazon come down here, he can talk all that stuff, and he's worth doing. But there's a brother at home, right, like the brother Sharif that does WeBuyBlack.com. This brother is just as skilled and capable and able and has just as much information and knowledge and experience as the head of Amazon, but he has to pay a black tax. So when you find him, it won't be a $1 billion company. It'll be a $1 million company. You might have one brother who you bring some white guy over here, and he's the head of the CDC, and he's a super doctor, and he can talk health up the boo-hoo, right? And he's got this huge resume. And then you find the black equivalent. It's just a brother that owns a clinic inside of a small town, but he's just as intelligent with just as much experience, just as much, because we know he paid the black tax. So I'm not saying you got to be the head of Amazon, head of ETC. I'm saying that you've got to be the kind of person who's achieved as far as that tax will allow you to go. And then when you get that, bring that cream, because what I'm inviting is our cream. Bring that cream over here. And let us look amazing, because there's a brand that I've insisted upon as far as black people in these spaces. And that is, when the black folks show up, things get better. You can't do that without the cream, right? If I take the minister on the call, I take the minister, and I say, come on over and show us about agriculture, he's not going to bring crap. He's going to bring cream. Don't you think that it's an equivalent, because you got a little garden in your front yard, and that means that you can come over here and talk about the agricultural system here. No. When the minister talks about the agricultural system, it's because he has experience trying to develop the agricultural system. He's had limited resources to be able to have the level of impact on a countrywide level. But that doesn't make his knowledge inferior. His knowledge is just at the same level, and maybe even most likely higher than people impacting our food system in the United States. And so when I bring him over, I'm bringing cream. And now I'm giving cream opportunity. And that is felt in value. And this is what builds our relationships. This is what makes them look back and say, woo, them black people came and things got better.
Mm. Wow, that's deep. It's hard to follow up on that. Well, if Dr. Vidger, you have a follow up for that, you know, we're down to our last 15 minutes, and I can talk. To hear you talk about the opportunity that you're helping to form there in Kazakhstan, Brother Farouk. However, I still want to hear more about some about the grand opening you had Freedom Village. Is it okay to shift over to that? And can you talk about the recent grand opening you've had and the significance of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, that's not a shift, right? I mean, it's all part of, and it's all part of one synonymous plan, right? The one plan is to give us environments where we are in control of our own future, where we live life the way that we choose to, underneath the cultural and social and religious and economic systems that we have devised and developed for ourselves. And that's not a Farouk plan. I can't even give that attribution to the minister either. I can go back to the mid-1800s, and I can look at Booker T. Washington, and I can look at his plans for Greenwood, right? Because we know that those plans that were cooked up in Tuskegee, Alabama, in my hometown, you know, of Greenwood, everybody knows about Black Wall Street. But so few people understand that Black Wall Street was Greenwood. It was a program from Tuskegee where Tuskegee students and students from Hampton University were sent out after they were trained to build these towns. And they built 200 of them throughout the country. And Greenwood was the model developed by Booker T. Washington. And it was Booker T. who drove down to Greenwood. And he drove down to that place inside Oklahoma. And when they asked him to speak out of the Greenwood model, because he was the originator of the Greenwood model, he said, "This is the Black Wall Street." So that title, Black Wall Street, came from the idea of Greenwood. So I'm not giving any of us credit for that, except for the fact that this original idea should be in play. Even if they destroyed it, we should rebuild it. And that's what Freedom Village is. We're building these spaces of influence and strength for us, and then seeking to expand those international so that the influence is bigger. And also we escape the problem that the Black Wall Street had of being isolated and being destroyed so easily. We should have friends outside of that, so if we're isolated, that we are full of other powers in order to make sure that we can stand. So in connection with that, we, of course, still have Freedom Village in Georgia, in Hancock County, just like encouraging people to come to Kazakhstan and take this space and build a base of operations for us through the Freedom Nation model. We're also encouraging us to take advantage of the rural town in Hancock County and use the same level of influence. And I'll just remind the stats real quick. This place has less than 6,000 people in the whole county, 498 square miles of land. The largest city is 1.8 square miles. It has filled with timber and opportunity. It was a former site of Black empowerment in the late 1800s and early 1900s. Many, many, many of famous Black people inside medicine and other things come from that county. We are now recolonizing the county because the Freedom Village will house 1,200 people, which is enough families to influence the vote, to choose our own commissioner, to build our own cities, to then choose our own mayors. Our district commissioner is elected with 385 votes. So we have the ability to completely take the entire county as our own. Most of us are just happy to negotiate with a mayor or negotiate with a commissioner. I'm saying we can be the mayor and we can be the commissioner and the city council and the fire department and the police department in this space where we're building Freedom Village. And in a very huge stroke of irony, one of the dear president of the United States created these opportunity zones. And the opportunity zones have made it so that all of Hancock County is an opportunity zone, meaning if you buy your house there and you make any money off of it, or if you invest in houses that are limited, you won't pay taxes on them. And you earn money there, and you won't pay anything you earn there. The business there, you won't pay taxes on the business you set up there. That's a whole other thing. So we're now building houses there. We're seeking out the first set of houses to fund. And we want to fund the several people to put in their down payment. We'll fund them a 30-year loan on our own. We built some of the houses, like I said, we built the house in Morocco as an example house. And we have our full production line down there, and we're making all the brick. We're making all the lumber. We're building all the custom cabinets. We're building the floors. We're designing and building 80% of the house from the raw material that we drum up on our own. And we're still in the process of inviting more people to come into that space to help us develop Freedom Village, which is, like I said, a 10-year project. I've said in the past, a 10-year project.
Wow, that's absolutely fascinating. Whew, so brothers and sisters, you hear it. If you find that fascinating, it's fascinating as I'm finding it, and it's exciting and encouraging it as I find it. Go ahead. We're down to our last 9 minutes. If you have a quick question, you can get your question in or comment. Brother Farouk, we want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. How many hours ahead of us are you in Kazakhstan?
Well, it's 5:00 in the morning on Friday. And I am, as soon as I walk off this phone, I'm going to walk up to prayer and start my prayer and start my daily routine. But I think we jumped on the phone right around 4 a.m.
Well, brother, we're not going to keep you any longer. We're going to let you go ahead and make your prayer. It's early in the morning there and continue your day. Dr. Bridges, did you have anything else you wanted to say or ask the brother?
Well, I just think that what he's doing is great, and I'm going to go and check him out on his Facebook page, and I think that the people need to buy the book and study it and visit the Freedom Village in Hancock County and to see what they're doing and how you can participate, and as well as, of course, we're doing a similar thing down here at Hammond Farms, and hopefully when he comes back in the country, we can meet and we can talk about our two developments. Thank you very much, Brother Farouk, for coming to us again.
Before I jump off, I'd like to just, put the basic information out there. One, the book is called The Principles of Freedom. You can Google that, and you can purchase it on Amazon.com, The Principles of Freedom. That's one. Two, in order to have any information about us, just go to freedomnation.me, freedomnation.me, meaning me, meaning you, freedomnation.me. And then when you get there, it says create a citizen profile. Create that profile, and then you get updates, information. You're involved in everything. And then on the last note, on a very public way, I will say this, that we we want to double down on a commitment to find ways to take produce and products from Mohammed Farms and distribute it to the other people who are already involved in Freedom Nation, and to find better ways to work with that project so that we're working in tandem with one another to make sure that we're not that we're maximizing our efforts.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for inviting me on the program, brothers. I always love what you're doing. I'll come back anytime you invite me again.
Thank you, brother. As-salamu
alaykum. Thank you.
Wa alaikum salam to life.
Woo, if you are not inspired to strive for excellence with the opportunity with that, then I don't know what to say. Well, Dr. Ritchie, I got two responses. One, I'm inspired to strive for excellence. Number two, it's somewhat intimidating. Does that make sense to you, Doc?
What do you mean by intimidating?
Well, I mean, to go from, Oakland, California, or Little Brownwood, Georgia, and get your little excellent thing going, to go to a country in Asia and deal with its officials, official level.
Well,
that's a step.
Well, the thing is you got to look in terms of, what passport and all that you need to get in. You don't have to be the most excellent person to go to the country. Now, you might have to be, quote unquote, the most excellent person for him to sponsor you as an excellent person. So, you go there and not be an excellent person in terms of at the top of the class on every aspect.
That's
you
the
have
only
a right
reason why
to go there
I
anyway.
Go.
Well, no,
well,
listen
I
what I'm saying.
Sir.
I'm saying that you should not be intimidated by that statement. If you want to go, you go. Now, if he doesn't want you to be a representative of Freedom Village, well, you're not a representative of Freedom Village. But you can go to the country and check it out for yourself. Either he can sponsor you or he can't, or he won't. But the key is don't be intimidated. You know, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get to Cuba. I'm thinking in my head when he says that country there, I'm saying, well, I got to figure out how I'm going to get there. I'm already trying to figure out how to get to Cuba to do me some studying there. The world awakes a wide awake man. So don't allow nobody to intimidate you. You have a right to go. Now, whether he wants to sponsor you and say you're a part of his organization, that's another thing. But you have a right to go and to check things out for yourself. Do you understand the difference?
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right.
So,
but you hear?
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't consider you to be the most excellent at what you are, and he doesn't feel that he wants to sponsor you with his contacts, well, so be it. But still, you have a right to go and check the country out for yourself. It sounds very interesting.
Wow. So what do you think, brothers and sisters? Another opportunity. And so we want to thank Allah for giving brother his blessings to have the wherewithal to go ahead and forge ahead. And that's just, you know, as we start to think, and I'm thinking, Dr. Richard, as we start to think for ourselves and getting our own communities, these are the type of opportunities that are going to come up as we build our nation. You know, not our nominal nation, but our real physical nation, and we start that by building communities.
Well, the thing is, you got to start moving forward on something. Once you start moving forward on something, other things will open up. And it doesn't mean that, you know, like you said, he lives here, and he lives there. You know, so the earth belongs to Allah, and we got to get it back. So yes,
right.
The key is to start movement, start moving towards being independent, developing skills, developing businesses, supporting people who got businesses, and we all move forward. I mean, forward at the same pace, but everybody can move forward. And then once you start moving forward, you find others who are also moving forward, and you work relationships, business relationships, personal relationships. It's just that's the process of living. It should be, but we have been closed-minded, closed down. So we have to reach out. And so I thank Brother Farouk for what he's doing, and I think it's a golden opportunity for us to work with him and reach out. But as you reach out, always remember to reach to continue to build within. Mr. Farrakhan said self-improvement is the basis for community development. So that's the saying that the brother said. He wants the best. He wants us to represent the best that we got. Well, improve yourself. Self-improvement is the basis for community development.
Praise be to Allah. On that note, we're down to the last minute, Dr. Ridley, and if you don't have anything else to say, that we'll be ready to go ahead and close out the show.
Well, all that I got to say is that we went through a whole lot of stuff today to get done what we are getting done, and inshallah, we're going to start planting tomorrow. I can't go into what the hell I had to do to get things where they are, but that's what you have to do if you're trying to do stuff. Unfortunately, many of us have given up on trying to do stuff. We just sit around and look at TV, movies, on Facebook, and we don't try to do anything. But it's hard, but that's life. Oh, praise is due to Allah.
Praise is due to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. And next week, we can have more discussions on this issue on the platform. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Walaikum salam, sir.
Lord, I've really been real stressed. Down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you,
down to Peace Street. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty.